B-Pod Studios.
This is Sean Corrali. You're listening to the home of the Bruins, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boston's home for sports. Sure and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's someone on roller skates.
There's a rabbit on my driveway. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's just sitting there.
Everyone's angry in Brookline. Everyone's feeling stressed.
Oh.
Where the people there are surly, and the average age is dead.
What is that?
There's a man taking a poop.
Everybody's having a good time, because everyone's angry in Brookline.
Turkey that came into my house and is sitting in my kitchen.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I'll tell you when Dan's here. Very tight. Very tight. No gaps. All right. Now, Rich, we love the calls to Brookline 911 because Brookline is a horrible place. And it is evidenced in these actual calls to the police department of Brookline, Massachusetts, and we are revisiting some of our favorites, Rich.
It's the Brookline 911 Awards, Fred.
Yes, and one day we might give an award out or we might not. But nonetheless, we
as soon as we figure out the name of it.
Yes, which is maybe telling us that that's unnecessary. But all right, Rich, what do we got today?
Well, we have had several so far. There was, of course, the stupid kid kicking dirt.
There is a very stupid child on the baseball diamond at Shears Park.
I love that guy's reaction.
That's my favorite. I love that one.
That one's pretty great. And then, of course, there's Fred's favorite.
There's a rabbit on my driveway that's... I don't know what's going on with it, but it's just sitting there.
The best is that it goes, and it's kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, he's the most obvious drug-laden man in the history of 911.
Then there were the people outside in the park who were training their dog.
I don't know. They look Indian.
No, they were not. And then there was the gentleman who called twice because someone was laughing at him at Trader Joe's.
They were laughing at me.
Okay.
And they were laughing about it.
Okay, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Oh, you know, my mother was a very lady.
She was a very lady. That one, I'm telling you, after hearing that one yesterday again, that might be my number one.
I can't say that about my mother.
No, probably not. A very lady. So let's get to our two from today, and we have two.
Oh, my.
Let's start with one that is just odd. Here we go.
Brookline Police Dispatcher Hunt.
Good morning. I want to make a basic police report.
Just stop it right there. All right.
What's he complaining about? That's what I want to know.
He's making a basic police report. He's talking very slow. Oh, God. What could it be? It could be a
Dan, what's his problem?
Dan just guessed trash recycling.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so they're not. Yeah, the trash man left trash. But
I'm going to guess a rabbit in the front yard.
I'm going some sort of noise complaint.
Okay.
You guys are all, you know, these are great answers. You would never in a thousand years guess this.
Oh, we can't. Okay.
But you're all like sniffing around. I mean, out of the hundreds of calls I've listened to, that's just like white noise now.
Okay. Those all look like capital crimes compared to what we're about. Okay.
This is just. All right.
Brookline Police Dispatcher Hunt.
Good morning. I want to make a basic police report, if I could.
Okay. We don't take any reports over the phone, so it would have to be at the station to come in, or we can come to you. Are you home or at work?
Well, I'm at home now. So,
okay. And what's the report for?
It's for a found fire hydrant.
It's for a what?
Forgive me. Forgive me. My neighbor last night after midnight lugged into our condominium a fire hydrant.
Okay, all right. This is the Jerky Boys. This is a Jerky Boys. Wait, how did he refer to the fire hydrant?
Found fire hydrant. Yes.
So he's saying that he found a fire hydrant
in his building.
In his building.
In his building. Yes.
His neighbor detached a fire hydrant from the street.
Didn't bring it into the guy's apartment, just brought it into the building.
Yeah, it's like a goof.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a fireman, but I'm guessing those are rather hard to detach from the ground. Not just for their weight, but also for the way they're anchored,
yeah.
Considering that they put out gallons and gallons of water at a very rapid pace. I'm guessing, too,
people would know it was gone because of the gigantic spray in the sky.
Yeah. Right. You know what? This guy has a lot of newspapers. This guy hasn't thrown out a newspaper since 1976.
And how many pairs of binoculars does he have?
Jesus. But he has newspapers from 1976. Yeah, he's counting the amount of times he's touching the doorknob. All right, here we go.
It's for a found fire hydrant.
It's for
forgive
a what?
Me. Forgive me. My neighbor last night after midnight loved...
Forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me.
It's for
forgive
a what?
Me. Forgive me.
Oh, dear Lord, I beg you. This hydrant, forgive me.
Forgive me.
Oh, heavens. Don't put me in eternal damnation. Forgive me.
Forgive me.
I throw myself at your mercy.
My neighbor last night after midnight lugged into our condominium a fire hydrant. And I believe it must be stolen property if such a thing exists. So
you
if
think?
You're missing one, I can tell you where it is.
Okay, and what is your name?
I'm looking at a police report that I got a copy of for activity that last happened on May 4th, 2019. So there's some previous experience.
Is your neighbor that brought the fire hydrant in? What unit does he live in?
That would be unit 2.
Okay. And do you know if they're home now?
I don't. I don't know if they're...
Okay. So where is the hydrant now? Is it in the common area?
No, I believe the hydrant is in his unit.
So how do you know this?
Or in your brain. Because after midnight, nothing good happens. Forgive me!
Forgive me.
So how do you know it's in there?
It's in there. Forgive me.
My neighbor's a dog that can walk. My neighbor has a dog with opposing thumbs.
I don't know if they're...
So where is the hydrant now? Is it in the common area?
No, I believe the hydrant is in his unit.
So how do you know this?
He lugged it in clanking and took it up the elevator here last night after midnight. And I opened the door and I said, Jake, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's my dog's fire hydrant. And though it was in a plastic bag, it clearly looked like a fire.
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
All right.
Hang on a second.
Even though it was in a Petco bag.
What?
So
all fire hydrants fit in plastic bags, of course.
Well, John, I mean, if you get a hefty, right, you can carry
easy
anything.
Easy to carry that sumbitch in. Yeah.
Does it rip right through the bottom of it?
No. You take like a 2-ton fire
hydrant.
That's
right. This is a 2-ply bag, Rich.
Yeah, you just, well, maybe put in more than one bag.
Oh, are we just completely overlooking that he's got some random police report from March 14th, 2019?
No, he's done to the
research.
Back of the bus at the moment. Hang on a second.
The person on the phone just kind of blew that off.
Yeah, he thinks he and the man in the second unit, not best friends, but he had it in a plastic bag.
Of course he did.
And he said it was his dog's fire hydrant. Oh, no, this is the one the dog pees at outside. I'm going to bring it in so it starts peeing on it in the house.
Because I want to make sure my dog pees inside and not outside.
I'm training him to pee inside.
That's right.
So I took the whole effing fire hydrant and popped it.
JP, hello.
Hey, gentlemen, do we know if John Henry has a condo in Brookline? This car sounds like John Henry, honest to God, Brookline. Brookline, the city that keeps on giving. Like, you can't make this stuff up. Are you kidding me? Did the dispatchers become alcoholics in like a week after making this call?
I think you have to have a tremendous sense of humor.
Forgive me.
This guy's got a lot going on. Forgive me.
Forgive
me. Yes, I will forgive you.
I will forgive you.
All right, let's hear the resolution here.
He lugged it in clanking and took it up the elevator here last night after midnight. And I opened the door and I said, Jake, what is that? Mm-hmm. And he said, it's my dog's fire hydrant. And though it was in a plastic bag, it clearly looked like a fire hydrant.
Okay. All right, we will send an officer over to you, okay?
Do you have any idea when that may be? Just because I'm going to take the dog out front for a walk. So I'll see somebody pull up and I'll be
back. He's not going to have anything to pee on, that dog. Yes. Because it's gone. Oh, my God.
Jesus. And you got to send someone over.
Yeah. You have to. I mean, how many times do you think that these guys, oh, it's Wayne again, or it's Bob. Although everyone says this is Bill Lumberg from Office Space.
What is that?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what that is. What the hell was up with the report?
So there's some previous experience for activity that last happened on May 4th, 2019.
I like he has to know when they're coming over because he's going to be outside the front of his house with his dog.
I want to be there and see his face when you show up.
I want to see him in cuffs. I want to see you beat him with a baton.
Forgive me.
Oh, Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to do. I'm sending someone away for their lives. Eric, go ahead.
So a few things about fire hydrants, guys. First of all, they weigh about 350, 400 pounds. That's the first thing. So no individual is putting it in a bag and lugging it upstairs unless they're like He-Man. To get the fire hydrant off the sidewalk is a major operation that takes a really long time and very special tools. Or you can hit it with a truck, break off the stem, get out your wrench, and unbolt it from the street. But I think you probably would have been caught doing that in the city of Brookline.
No, I think that you got the second part right. I think he took his car and rammed it and then put it in a plastic bag.
And took it up the elevator here last night after midnight. And I opened the door and I said, Jake, what is that?
He was right at the door.
He was never too far from the door.
Jake, what are you doing?
Jake, what are you doing? Oh, I'm stealing more fire hydrants.
What is that?
All right, so there you go. Man stealing a fire hydrant. These are real calls to Brookline 911. Brookline, one of the worst places in the history of the planet. And these are real calls to the 911 operators as we go through the best of the year. And Rich, what is this one?
All right. Our next nominee in the Brookline 911 Awards. This would file under the waste of city services category. Let's get to the tape.
Brookline, please.
Hi. There's something weird with our computer, and it's beeping, and we can't get the beep to turn off, and it says it's Microsoft. And
okay, so you called the police. I've tried everything else. I called my veterinarian. I called the guy that does my landscaping, and none of them seem to can figure it out.
Arrest him. Take him to jail. 911.
I went to Subway and asked the guy. No one seems can figure this out.
Brookline, please.
Hi. There's something weird with our computer, and it's beeping, and we can't get the beep to turn off, and it says it's Microsoft, and there's a number to call, and... I called my husband at work, and he thinks it's a scam, and I don't know. Do you have any way of knowing that?
I can send an officer out there.
Oh, my God. I called my husband, and he thinks it's a scam. So, send out your cybersecurity expert, Brookline Police,
and get him on the case.
Right? They sent in a guy. It's like Wallach, but with like a suit.
Yeah.
Sits down with the glasses.
Yeah.
Like, bring in glasses.
Like,
that's right. Yeah, that's what we're good for.
Send in your best anti-hacker. This woman's got a computer that's beeping all over the place.
It's a scam. That's how they get you.
John
they,
Henry, what are you doing?
They make it beep. Beep, beep. They inferno beeping.
Someone said, my computer is asking me to shut it down and restart. I'm terrified. Can you send an officer?
Yeah, I mean, shut it down. What does that mean? It wants me to kill.
And it's taunting me with this rainbow circle. It keeps spinning and spinning. I think he's trying to hypnotize me.
Now, it says it to call a Microsoft number, which it sounds like she has not done, but she has called her right. husband. You know the husband is just like, call the police, lady. Like just
leave me alone.
Yeah, just leave me alone. I get 8 hours a day away from you.
I called my husband at work, and he thinks it's a scam, and I don't know. Do you have any way of knowing that?
I can send an officer out there to talk to you and check it out and start to investigate.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you could.
That pause. The guy's like, really? Really? I know I have to say this.
Yes.
I have to. It's my job that I have to take every one of these seriously and offer you a police officer. But you really going to make us do this?
No, listen, if I'm the guy, I'm like, hell yeah. All right, go over there.
I don't have to go. I just have to send somebody else.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's three people have been murdered. But listen, my computer's beeped.
I'll be right with you. I have to check out this computer problem.
Right. So. Can you check to see if it's a scam? Yes, I'm well trained in that.
Would you like batteries for your smoke detectors while you're at it?
Yeah, it's CSI training over there at the police academy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you can hear the beep. I am not a computer person.
Understood. Okay. All right, we'll get the next available officer up there to talk to you, okay?
Okay, bye.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, that's good stuff.
There's something weird with our computer.
All
right.
It's
beeping, and we can't get the beep to turn off.
Toucher Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello?
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That's News Our Face.
That's pretty good.
And that is, of course, Inspector Deck and Esoteric.
Comes
and
out today, right?
The new record is out today, and you can get the vinyl over there at Newbury Comics. Always get the vinyl because it's they put a lot of work into it. Big J. Okerson is going to be in studio. He's playing two shows tonight and tomorrow at Laugh Boston. And he's here. We don't want to make him think that we're blowing him off.
No.
But we do have to do this. Now, everything that's happening in Cleveland is fantastic. That moron Freddie Kitchens, their coach, walked around with that shirt that said Pittsburgh started it, which is exactly what a professional football coach should do. Just right before a huge rivalry game where the last time there was unprecedented violence on the field, you really want to walk around with that thing on.
You know he was trying to be like, all right, this is going to get the guys on my side.
Well, that's the thing is that Rex Ryan and Teddy Bruschi the morning of the game were like, that's great. That's what he did was fantastic. He's telling the guys this. Are you aware of any successful coach? Like, successful coaches don't do that. Just how hard is it for your fat ass not to put that shirt on and go to the movies and go out in public? Put it on in the effing locker room.
As much as I rip on Tomlin, Tomlin handled that thing perfectly.
Yeah.
He's like, there's nothing else that I want to say on that matter.
Tomlin won the game. And everything I've predicted, and most of it goes wrong, but Cleveland is a mess. Like I said, they have an idiot coach.
Because mama didn't raise a wuss.
Baker Mayfield is an insufferable douche.
You didn't like that when he said that? Like, how can it be so tough to play when you hit your finger on the helmet?
And you hit your finger on a face mask and you're throwing a football. This guy is the worst. But then they got Odell Beckham. And everyone started freaking out, and they said, "Oh, the Browns have Odell Beckham. Look out! This is gonna take them to the Super Bowl." Blah 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 blah. And Bertus made this point as well: is that that doesn't work that way. And what's gonna happen is more likely than them winning anything is that Odell Beckham's gonna go, "I have a complete moron throwing to me, who's too undersized and whose big thing is his intangibles." So, Rich, what is going on with Odell Beckham?
So, Odell Beckham has been a pretty good soldier up to this point. As a matter of fact, I think this is the first time he's been held to under 100 yards five games in a row, which is ridiculous for Odell Beckham if you take a look at what he was pulling when he was with the Giants. And he, yesterday, spoke to the press, and this is pretty fantastic because this all comes on reports that if the season ends with them being a bust, which it's going to, then he is going to do everything he can in his power to get off of this team. And you've seen it happen now in the NFL. We saw Le'Veon Bell try to leverage it. Now, Antonio Brown is completely in a different universe than what he was trying to pull.
We saw Odell Beckham leverage it.
So here is yesterday, Odell Beckham Jr. doing a press conference, and listen to how he answers his questions about his future.
What's the future hold? I don't know that. I don't know the answers for that. You know, right now I'm just taking it a day at a time, trying to finish the season healthy, trying to.
That really shows you he's going all out.
I mean, listen, the priorities here are right on the money.
I don't want to get hit too hard. You know, if there's a chance to get out of bounds, definitely going to take it.
Yeah, maybe I'll just kind of. You'll fall to the, I'll just slide a little bit.
Yeah, not a big fan of going over the middle. Just kind of trying to stay healthy. You know, don't really want the flu.
Trying to win these last four games and see what happens.
Do you want to be here or do you not care?
No, I mean, no one knows what the future holds like tomorrow.
No.
Like,
that is a big
that's
no.
That's not much of an answer, is it?
That is him getting a taste of Baker Mayfield and saying, whoops-a-daisy.
Hey, credit to the Cleveland reporters. Great question.
It's not even an appropriate answer, by the way. Like, it's do you want to be here, not do you think you will be here?
Yeah, no, because that's what happens, and this happens all the time, is people ask a question, what about your future? And they'll give an answer like that you know they're obviously trying to give you a non-answer because they don't want to commit to staying. But do you want to be here is a great question.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great one. You have to answer that one. And when you don't...
It's obvious.
It's obvious.
No, he doesn't want to be there. Why would he want to be there? They have a guy bumping in the walls as their head coach, and they have a 5'9" quarterback that thinks he's Rambo.
Brown uniforms. They're nice looking.
Listen, the fans of Cleveland are very passionate. Cleveland's an underrated city. I could spend, 16 weeks a year there.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I like Cleveland.
I'd like it, too. I think it's underrated.
Let's you and me go together.
Why not? We can have some fireball.
A road trip. Let's go.
Right. Okay. I couldn't tell you what's going to happen. I mean, I'm here... my locker is right next side to, one of the men who means the most to me in the world. And I think about just being able to come to work and see him every single day and how special this could be. So I couldn't sit here and tell you whether I'm going to be here, want to be here, don't want to be here.
Yes, you can. Just say, yes, I want to be here. You can say that. There's nothing stopping you.
Yeah, yes or no are pretty basic words.
Like, why can't you say, yes, I want to be here?
Because he doesn't. Who's the guy next to him? It better not be Baker Mayfield.
Nah, something tells me.
Because mama didn't raise a wuss.
No. I think he's... the evidence points that he wants to leave, and Baker Mayfield would be a main reason.
This is exactly where I'm at now. And I wouldn't rather be anywhere else, So it's something that, like I said, God has a plan. And in the offseason, everything will figure itself out.
And by God, I mean my agent.
Yeah, by God, I mean I'm going to force my way out of this piece of crap hellhole.
I feel like I've been here before asking questions about the next team while I'm on the team already, and that's just kind of something that I'm just tuned out for right now. And you catch me in the offseason, and we'll see what happens. I don't know God's plans. You know, I just follow his lead.
You have a contract. Catch me in the offseason and we'll see what happens. No, you are signed to a contract.
Well, in fairness, God is very interested in where Odell Beckham Jr.
Well, Antonio Brown keeps tweeting, call God, and I keep trying to get through.
Well, listen, that's a number only the very select have. Kirk Cameron has it.
God's going to review the contract situation, take a look at the salary cap situation. It's God's on this.
That would be funny if he called Kirk Cameron and he was like, can you get me on?
This offseason, it's about work and getting to the very best of my abilities no matter what. Like I tell you all the time, 2020 is going to be my year. So I'm not really worried about, you know, so much what's going to happen in the future, but my mindset for next year is no matter what is going on, nothing's going to be in my way. And that's just how I feel, and that's the goal. And sit here and write it down now, and people could talk about it, say whatever they want, but we'll see when it happens next year.
Why are you not focused on the next four games?
How great is it if you are anyone within the Cleveland organization and you hear your star receiver saying, you know what, next year's going to be my year?
Yeah.
The season's not over.
Well, no, what he's saying is that this year has not been his year. Because he's had a guy who's been incapable of getting him the football.
Right now, I'm just still learning. I'm learning every single day. New experiences and just trying to find a way to finish the rest of the season strong. If it's possible that we can make the playoffs, I'm all in. You know, I've been pretty much banged up all year since whatever happened in camp. I've been playing through it, doing whatever I can just to make it to Sunday for the game. Anytime that Sunday comes around, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8, Monday night, Thursday, like I'm gonna give this team everything that I have.
All right, so it is beginning to fall apart.
By the way, I guess that he was talking about Jarvis Landry.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Which makes a lot more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, because he's pissed too. All right, Big J Okerson, fan of his, I am, and we will talk to him. But first, here are the headlines.
Northern Bank has teamed up with New England running back Sonny Michel again this season for Taking It to the House to raise money to provide much-needed housing and support for homeless families at Heading Home. Northern Bank. Stay true. Northern Bank, member FDIC.
Don't miss a thing.
What are you gonna do?
On your phone or tablet.
Are you listening to me?
Get the latest stories or download a podcast. Podcast 98.5 The Sports App. That's an app. Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, Guru, where have you gone? Rest in peace. Local guy. 98.5, the Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Big J Okerson is performing two shows tonight and tomorrow at Laugh Boston in the Seaports. For more info, including tickets, visit laughboston.com or bigjokerson.com. Get out of here. No, I'm just kidding. He's involved in 95 projects. He's in Legion of Skanks. He does the Bonfire with Dan Soder, who's very, very funny. And a bunch of other stuff. But, okay, I was in Los Angeles on vacation, and I'm not trying to act like a badass, but I was really drunk. And there was...
It's pretty badass.
I was partying. And I was with my wife. And there was a show, and it was you, Bill Burr, and like all these other guys. And I came in, and you did a set. Just tell me if I'm wrong. And you did a set, and it was really funny. And then it was just like Bill Burr playing the drums.
It was a comedy jam.
Okay.
Did everybody sing a song at some point?
I didn't stay.
Oh, really?
I saw your set, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, you did great. And I'm like, when's Burr going up? And he's just playing drums.
Yeah.
And so I was like...
Yeah, it's a goddamn comedy jam, they call it. It's a great show. It's a fun show, but it's a weird one. Very little comedy, and it's just comedians living their rock star fantasies.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so I've been told that you have just received a birthday present from a friend of yours.
Oh, yeah. My friend got me a cameo. You know what Cameo is?
Yeah.
When you could pay... I guess, celebrities who have free mornings to
wish
you a happy bar mitzvah or something.
Yeah, we've used that with Lou Ferrigno. We have done that with Lou Ferrigno. Very hard to understand.
Yeah, I bet. You don't even know he's congratulating you on. Is he my friend? Is he my enemy?
A lot of seven syllable words. We asked him.
All right. So who did you get? Who did you get a cameo?
Corey Feldman, who is infamous on my radio show, The Bonfire. He does not like us, but he keeps doing ridiculous things we have to talk about. I can't help that. But me and my friend was able to get him to do a cameo. It gave, not my full name and my wrong birth date, which is a bit much.
Right. Because then you know he's doing it on purpose.
Well, my friend goes, well, I didn't want to use his real birthday in case he would, check and find out it's you I'm doing this for. He hates us, let me say, we're not on his mind every day.
Right.
He doesn't know my birthday.
He's got some time on his hands, but today is your birthday.
Tomorrow.
All right, so with Corey Feldman.
Have you seen his live show? Band?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In person?
Oh, yeah. We dominated it. And one of his ex-bandmates, one of the ex-Angels, told us in L.A. when she did our radio show that that there was pictures of me and Dan Soder as to not let us into that show, but they did. I guess no one really took it seriously. Don't let these guys in. But he should be happy we brought him in. We dominated that. We had easily over 100 people into a 200-seat place for his birthday show. But it was just, what he puts that audience through. It is something else.
Now, when you say you dominate, because there's two different ways you can play that if you bring a bunch of your listeners there. You could either go and, yell at the guy and jeer and boo him, or you can make it seem like it is like Woodstock. You could
go what we did.
Okay, good, because that's the best. See, in my opinion, that's the better way to go.
Also, as a performer myself, if somebody shanghaied my show like that, I'd have a problem with that. So we used to go because it doesn't matter what you're enjoying it for, but just enjoy. Only come if you're going to enjoy it.
Right.
I mean, I enjoy. He said the only time I heard the crowd not give a reaction that he was looking for was because everybody who I brought also was doing the same thing to me. He made an announcement in the beginning. He said, he's like, we've been on tour for a while now, and we're doing about 2 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes a night. He goes, going out there and blowing it out everywhere we go. But it's my birthday today. It's a Highline Ballroom in New York. It's my birthday today. So, I want to party too and have a fun night. So, and it seems like he's going to say, so we're only going to play about an hour and a half tonight, but we're going to make it awesome. Mm-hmm. He goes, but I want to party. So, how would you feel if I told you we're going to do about 3 hours tonight? And I think he said it in the cadence of how about we're going to tell you we do about 3 hours? Like by the end of that sentence, he expected the...
Yes! People were just shocked.
And it was just people looking at me. Dan Soder looked at me and he goes, dude, no way. I could be here for 3 hours. I'm like, you're not going anywhere. And we're buying merch.
This is the Godfather, dude, man. It's
we bought Dave Attell, Sal Vocano from Practical Joker. We really stacked it. and then a bunch of fans we had come in. We changed the set list by chanting other terrible songs he does. It was great.
Did he do the cover of Cry Little Sister from the Lost Boys soundtrack? Yeah, that brings the house down. Yeah,
because really Rich saw him back in the day before it became cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Rich saw him in a place in Rome, Georgia.
It was this place. Oh, it was great because it was a dance club, it's a college town. Sure. And it was a college dance club. And I don't think anybody had any clue Corey Feldman was supposed to play there.
Or who he was.
So they were doing, there was one guy who had a Goonies sign, so I do know that. But they were playing Bombs Over Baghdad. The place was going nuts. It was 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. Place is going crazy. And they cut the song off mid-song. And everyone's like, what the hell's going on? And all of a sudden, you see this smoke behind the stage, and the keyboardist comes out, and he goes, wow. Everyone's like, what the hell is happening? There's a band tonight? And one by one, the band comes out, and Corey Feldman shows up, and he's got his Michael Jackson jacket on, and his back is to the crowd. And he goes bam, 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 does this thing with his hands. And everybody in unison just flips the guy off a middle finger. And he goes, I don't care what that one guy in the back thinks. We're here to party. it was the best.
That's how he gets through life. I'm telling you. It's definitely from just delusionally telling himself what's happening isn't happening. He's disconnected for sure.
Oh, no question.
But how did he find out about how did he find out about you and Soder? How does he, by listening?
We beat a lot of time into it. Well, the thing was, he came up organic. We were talking about confidence of actors doing music.
Mm-hmm.
and when it's not good, and they still are like, no, but this is my art. This is what I do.
Like Bruce Willis.
And, yeah, Bruce Willis Bruno. Is pretty rough. Yeah,
Bruno to you.
The Return of Bruno.
Listen, I'm glad he got a honk on the Bobo.
There's plenty of bad ones out there, but he just came up because one of my favorite videos to watch on YouTube ever would be, as a comic, Caroline's, or Evening at the Improv, I think it was. Used to be on A&E Channel late at night. It was one of the few stand-up shows on TV when basic cable was rolling. And they would have celebrity hosts come out and host it. And I guess somebody would write a few minutes for them, and they'd deliver their, whether it be a soap opera star, an actor, or whatever, and they'd bring them out. Corey Feldman goes out. This is wonderfully available on YouTube. He comes out and goes, hey, welcome to the Evening at the Improv. I'm Corey Feldman. I'm going to do a little something different. Not even like a shot at one joke. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do my new single written by Michael Damian, who's a soap opera actor who only wrote
Rock
that one
on.
Song, Rock On.
Or didn't write it. Right.
Yeah, remade it. It was Michael Damian wrote it with me, and it's a new single from my movie Dream a Little Dream 2, the sequel we were all waiting for. And, and then just... what I have to admire about him is that that delusional separation, that there's an audience that's there for a comedy TV taping. He goes, does no warm-up, and then goes, instead I'm going to do a song, and then kicks into this bubblegum nonsense song. Full dancing.
Now I got to watch it.
Lip singing, first of all. But like everything's Michael Jackson dancing. And we used to laugh at that. Then he just had like the timing of that. Like within less than a year, he started making news again. Because he did those Good Morning America things.
Oh, yeah.
That double album.
Yeah.
Those terrible performances where he dresses like Assassin's Creed and brings out. And they try to make it seem like the Good Morning America people, God bless them, they really try to like, they're like, wow. He brings out, this is one of the best morning news things I've ever seen. He brings out to rap. I guess they paid Snoop Dogg to do a rap in this song on the album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But there's no evidence. There's no way Snoop Dogg's going to show up on a stage with Corey Feldman.
Right.
It won't happen. He was paid money and he did it at his house, I'm sure.
I think Fred Durst is on that album, too.
I fully believe that.
Well, that's a hard get.
I heard they just played the Roxy in L.A. the other day and killed. It was great. I saw them on a cruise ship one time where we were going to
There's part of me that wouldn't mind seeing Limp Bizkit.
Oh, my God.
It's one of those bands you're like...
Once you're there, you're like... Yeah, pretty good.
You're like, I know 9 of these 10 songs.
I used to do night radio at an alternative radio station, and I refused to play Limp Bizkit.
This is when they were at their biggest.
And their DJ,
DJ Lethal
called the station and said he was going to come up and kick my ass. But he did not. And I was afraid because he is lethal.
Yeah, of course.
And he was going to, you know, who knew what was going to happen? A homicide.
Is he also, House of Pain's guy.
Yeah.
Well...
You don't respect the House of Pain?
No, I like the one song.
All right, speaking of concerts, I do have to ask you. You did the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah, I've done it twice.
Okay, what is that like, being a comedian at the Gathering of the Juggalos? What's the whole scene like?
It's an odd scene, for sure. It's the first time we did it, we kind of didn't know what we were going into.
It's quite a shock.
It is. Yeah, well, also because when they used to do it, it was... in Illinois, Southern Illinois, that I can only describe as, I say, 25 minutes from cell phone service. Like, it was nothing. It was that bad. And it's years ago, too. But they drive you from the hotel to it. And it was a huge field. Again, no cell phone service. Carnival rides. Multiple stages. Big tents with 1,000 chairs in them. And they put us in, like, a 300... seat tent to do comedy at 1 o'clock in the morning, hosted by a guy named Upchuck the Clown, who by the second time I did it, I realized this part of him, or what is what he does. But he gives you a speech of like, it's not the best gig because he's a comedian too. He says
Upchuck
locally.
The Clown, right?
And whatever his
very
real name
cerebral
is. Joel. I think his name is Joel, but he goes
I'm Upchuck the Clown. I vomit out streamers. I'm a magician.
But he goes, they love me. They know me. I've been doing this always, and I'm part of the community here. And I go up there, I'll loosen them up, do about 15 minutes, get them going, and then we'll bring you in, and it'll be great. I had two other comics with me, and then we'll get the show kind of rolling. We go, fantastic. And he goes up there, and I mean, right away, he's like, hey, Juggalos. And they're like, you know, F you, up. They hate him. They hate him. They not only do not love him, they don't like him at all. And they curse him out for a minute and a half tops. And then he goes, all right, you guys ready to get this show rolling? We were near 15 minutes. And did not get them, like, ready to go. He actually made them angrier in some way.
Yeah.
And then started putting up the two other comics. I remember telling my first buddy, Louis J. Gomez. That's one of the guys who do Legion of Skanks with.
Right,
yeah, yeah. And Louis, he was young in comedy. I was pretty young in comedy, so he was significantly younger than me. And I go, hey, look, that guy really didn't do anything. All I'm asking you is please, like, do jokes. Like, don't... I know the crowd's going to be offering you weed and all kinds of... It's chaos.
Right.
I go, but just try to get some, like... Just the idea that we're doing a stand-up show here, please. He goes, yeah, no worries. And he goes up there, and right away, whatever he says right away, they're like, shut up! And then, I mean, again, under a minute and a half later, he was wearing, like, a bong, like, gas mask thing. not even he's not smoking on stage, which would have been bad enough. He's like doing a thing that enables it makes you not be able to talk.
Right. So all they're interested in is you smoking weed.
Yes.
Which I, by the way, have never seen Luis Gomez do anything without at least rolling.
Yeah, he's got,
or smoking weed at some point.
Something for sure. Yeah, but he goes up there and they liked him for smoking weed with them, but then they kind of moved on. And Mike Vecchione, another stellar comic. Goes up there. I told him, I go, hey, just, you know, do like 15, and I'm going to do like a half hour, and let's just get out of here. Nice and easy. He goes, okay. And he goes up there, and it is just a struggle. He is like a joke. He's like a genius at it. He's a great joke writer and joke teller, but it's you have to listen to it. It's not really going to work in a, you know, stop the party and listen to this funny thing. Have you ever noticed? It's like you can't do observational comedy in that situation. And they're like not super into it. And then about 10 minutes in, it's just like everything's getting kind of merciful at this point. We're like, hey, let's like, I go, can I tell him like he could wrap it up? It's not that I'm not pulling him off stage early. Like, he wants to wrap it up.
Yeah. Right.
Taking this, I go, it's really my gig. I brought these guys and I'm like, I'm putting them through something here. For like a love of the game they're not getting. So I remember just, and as a comic, knowing this, I give him like a signal of like, he sort of sees me on side stage and I go, you know, you could wrap it up. Now, and just that wave of like relief I saw on him, because any comedian will tell you when you have the signal that it's time to go, that's when right when you go, it's like, oh, I have 40 more minutes of things I could have done right now. It's like just a confidence where you're like, what do I wrap this little one up with a bow? Even if it's going bad, you're like, I'll get out of here on this. And I give him that thing, and he, almost like a smile, like a pleasant smile looks over me like, oh, good. And he goes into his closing bit. I remember he goes, you know, guys, I had a dream the other night. And someone goes, F your dreams. And he just went, all right, I'm going to get out. Like, he didn't do the joke. He's like, I'm going to get out of here. And he left. And then they brought me up. And I remember very early in it, it was going like okay at best. Like they were laughing here and there. But how many people it was nothing. And then I pointed out that this is odd to be at a hip-hop festival where there's no black people. It seems odd.
Well, they're wearing makeup. You don't really know.
Then, well, so then a guy stands up, like, deep into the audience. And it's a black guy. And he's like, I'm here, dude. Friendly enough, like, when in that thing. So I go, one jug of bro is what I said. And it rained booze. And I go, what's the problem with that? And they go, it doesn't matter what color you are. Someone yells that. It doesn't matter what color you are. We all bleed clown. And then I looked over at Upchuck and I was like, can I leave? Like, what is it? I don't know how to connect to people to say something like that.
We all bleed clown.
And then I went back a few years later and just like, if it makes sense, I just sort of got it more. Smaller tent they put you in. Not seating now. It was hay stacks that everybody sat on, like hay bales.
Yeah.
And still, but like, if it makes sense, I just, and also by that many years later, too, I kind of developed and like I do so much crowd stuff anyway that I'm like, I'm not even going to take a swing at too many jokes and just
pit them
against each other. And in between, a guy's going to bring up like a blowtorch and some kind of mechanical wax thing I have to smoke. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. No, I guess no one cares about dead air up here. And they couldn't care less. Oh, they come to the comedy show. It's just like, oh, is there noise and light happening in the middle of the woods?
I'll go. He's going to set himself on fire.
Yeah.
I don't even think you have to do that.
Yeah. Are we going to laugh? Maybe I'll get peed on.
Well, that's the other clown that they have. Urination the clown. All right, Big Jay Oakerson, two shows tonight and tomorrow at Laugh Boston in the Seaport. For more info, including tickets, visit laughboston.com or bigjoakerson.com. Thanks so much for the time.
Man. Thank you for having me.
Big fan of yours. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.